Well, the plan for a new terminal at Kansas City International Airport is on hold for now after a study showed low public support for the project. But that doesn't mean KCI isn't looking at ways to improve. Joining us now by phone is Patrick Klein. He's the new director of the Kansas City Aviation Department. He splits his time. He's also an assistant city manager. Pat, nice to have you. Good morning.
Welcome, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And a new terminal is on hold, but is that stopping you from making improvements to the old terminal, Pat?
No, we have a whole list of improvements that we're doing in terminals B and C, anywhere from adding electrical outlets in the public areas to increasing the Wi-Fi speeds to interior lighting upgrades to LED. So we've got a whole list of improvements we're working on.
Are you reticent to do that, given there's so much interest, at least at City Hall, in developing a new and building a new terminal sometime soon?
Everything we look at the price. You know, we wouldn't want to do something that's overly expensive. But for instance, in the LED lighting discussions we've had, the paybacks on the LED lightings are a couple of months. So, the thing folks have to remember is even if we'd have a vote yes tomorrow for something new at KCI, we probably wouldn't open it for between 5 and 7 years. Mm-hmm. So, these improvements may be short term in the long scheme of things, but I mean, it's still, we can still get 5 to 7 years of life out of them.
What are some of the complaints that passengers have now about the Horseshoe terminals?
Well, I mean, frequently we hear about the lack of electrical outlets. We've heard about the Wi-Fi speed. The concessions is always an issue post-security. The amount of restrooms is something we frequently hear about. United Airlines has three separate hold rooms with three separate checkpoints, so each customer that goes into American Airlines may have a different experience from a different American Airlines check.
At times these days, it's hard to find even a seat in the waiting areas. What are you doing to address that?
Well, that always remains a challenge. I mean, our challenge is our building is only 72 feet deep, and it's split with the security wall. So if we add seating, then that has the opportunity to take away concessions or restrooms. So it's a balance that we work with the airlines to figure out how much seating they need and versus how much what concessions and restrooms sizes they need. So that's always a challenge whenever we're talking post security, and we really have to work with the airlines to determine that.
KCI was one of the first airports to offer free Wi-Fi. How popular is that service now, and is it going to be changing sometime soon?
Well, it's very popular, and one of the things we're looking at is we're trying to increase the speeds. We've had 40% increased usage since last July. We've upgraded some hardware. We're going to upgrade some switches. Hopefully by October 1st, they'll see higher speeds. And it's also very popular. We've got a survey that in July we asked three questions, and we were getting about 1,000 responses a day for people to get onto the free Wi-Fi. They'd have to answer these three questions, and it really gave us good information about where our customers are from, and are they leisure or business travelers, and helpful comments from them. So that survey stuff was very useful for us.
I was going to ask you about the survey. What else did it tell you, Pat?
Well, the big thing we really wanted to know was zip code. So we wanted to find out where our customers are coming from. The decision to be when we eventually have a vote, if we do, will be made by Kansas City, Missouri voters. But we really wanted to find out where our customers were from, and are they Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, or what percentage? And the interesting thing we found is 40% of them aren't from the area. I mean, they're from outside coming in, California, Illinois, Texas, those kind of states.
40% of KCI's customers are coming from outside the metro
to come to Kansas City to do business or pleasure, yes.
Well, that's interesting. And what does that tell you about prospects for a new terminal?
Well, I mean, what we found was when you boil it all down, about 12% of our customers are Kansas City, Missouri residents. So they will have the say in what goes up, what changes may or may not occur at KCI, but you know they're a small percentage of the total customer. So we've got to, you know, you've got to make everybody happy when we're at the airport, whether you're a business customer or a leisure customer or a family or an elderly. So each different segment of customer has different demands and different expectations of their time at KCI.
Does that begin to suggest that the campaign for a new terminal will be tougher than many folks imagine because so few customers at KCI are actually from the metro?
Honestly, I'm not. That's not my area of expertise. I mean, I would argue that, you know, if we're only dealing with Kansas City, Missouri residents, then maybe it's easier because we're, you know, you focused rather than the whole region. But, you know, not everybody, I mean, folks in Kansas may have a different opinion than folks in Kansas City, Missouri. So it's, you know, it's kind of, you kind of, the folks who do that for a living will have to weigh in on, you know, how that works.
If our listeners have questions about KCI, what's going on out there, what the plans are for a new terminal, you can give us a call. We're visiting with Pat Klein. He's the new director of the Kansas City Aviation Department. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. You asked people directly in that survey you mentioned, Pat, what types of things would improve the airport. What were some of the most common responses you got, and maybe the ones you thought, well, yeah, it'd be nice if we could do that, but maybe the airport just isn't set up for it?
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, you ask about one of the things we asked about was are they business travelers or are they leisure travelers? Because, you know, each one has a different kind of expectation of what. And then we also asked if they were departing or if they're arriving. And the interesting thing with Kansas City is, depending on if they're business or leisure, they may be sitting, what we found was, they may be sitting in the same hold room going on the same flight. And the comments came back, you know, one group we had was, we had somebody that was on a Delta flight who was a business passenger, and they said, this airport's the worst ever, needs to be new. And then 12 seconds later, a Delta person who's a leisure traveler basically commented that we shouldn't do anything with the airport. It's the greatest ever, and it's very easy. So what we find is, you know, folks have different opinions on how their experience is, and those opinions vary widely, even people that are in the same hold room going on the same flight.
Hmm. You know, I often hear arriving passengers complain that signage at the airport isn't adequate. What are you doing about that?
So that's one of the things we're working on. The ambassadors that are there in the red coats, they're the volunteers. The number one question they get is, how do I find my rental car? So if you walk through the airport, it says ground transportation and points you to the curb because the buses are in the median in between the terminals. So what we're doing is we're trying to increase the wayfinding signage and make sure it's pretty specific on where it is. So sooner you will see it'll say rental car signage, and it'll have an arrow pointing out to the median. And hopefully that's we're working with the ambassadors on the questions they hear and the frequent topics that they have that we need worked on. So we've got a whole list. We're doing a partnership with the Jazz Museum and the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, where we're going to try to bring in some jazz musicians from different times and different places in the airport where during the busy times, so they can get a flavor of Kansas City jazz and do a partnership with the baseball museum to have some of their exhibits out there also. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that we're doing, and we're just working on, you know, on those one at a time. But we've got 7 or 8 of them working right now, and we give updates to the council monthly at the airport committee. So anyone interested can tune in the third Thursday of the month at 10:30.
Let's go to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. Hope from Overland Park, you're on with Pat Klein, the new director of the Kansas City Aviation Department. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks.
Sure.
Good morning.
I was wondering
You know, I'm losing you, Hope. You're on a cell phone there. I'm wondering about your any accommodations for nursing mothers, Pat, that you could talk about.
Well, that's something that we're looking at. There's lots of discussion on the federal level. So my guess is there will be some legislation. Nursing mothers having rooms post security, which presents a challenge to us because we've got, eight different hold rooms. The other thing that we hear on the federal level is pet release stations for service animals post security. So those are both items that we're tracking, and we're trying to find room once again with our hold rooms sizes, and it becomes, how do we find that room? Do we take away seating? Do we take away
Right.
concessions, restrooms, that sort of thing? Because we're very confined in with the geometry of our building.
Fred here has a question about Southwest Airlines being interested in Terminal A, which is is no commercial airlines operate out of Terminal A. Fred, go ahead.
Yes, that was a discussion up in Chicago at Midway Airport that I had heard. Whether they had actually presented anything or come down and talked about it, but they seemed to be some interest to take over that whole terminal, operate it themselves, and operate some long distance flights out of that terminal.
What about
I wondered if
terminal?
they had ever Terminal A, and
Yeah, what
I'm
about
wondering
term?
if it,
I.
So right now, Southwest Airlines has got a 9-gate facility in Terminal B. They've had no discussions with us about opening Terminal A. If they need extra gates, we have extra gates in B and C. Right now, they've not brought that to us. There's really no reason for us to open A. What the airlines are doing right now is instead of bringing in additional flights that need different gates, what they're doing is they're using bigger planes. So they go from a plane that has 120 seats to one that has 180. Or if they have one that has 180, they upgauge to 220 seats. So what we're seeing from the airlines is they're bringing in more passengers, but they're doing it with the same number of flights. And we've had no discussions with Southwest at all about opening up Terminal A. And honestly, I mean, there's 350,000 square feet. If we've got room in our current terminals, there's really no reason to open up Terminal A and then operate it and maintain it, because we've got enough room in B and C to handle everything we've got.
Pat, what about the huge parking lot in the middle of Terminal A? What's it being used for?
Right now, we're using that for our very popular valet service. So
Ah.
the valet folks that pick up in that drop off on B, because B fills up, Mondays at sometimes through Friday for the business travelers that fly out of Kansas City. A lot of them will valet for $27. I think it's $27, and then we park those cars over at in the A terminal.
You've also opened up a new cell phone lot. Tell us where it is and where you have plans to move it, apparently.
So the current cell phone lot is it's out in the economy parking lot. So if you want to go out to the economy parking lots, the first 2 hours are free. So and that's, as everyone knows, it's I don't know, maybe half a mile away from the terminals. What we've done is we're opening up on Monday officially. We're opening up a cell phone lot that's right underneath the tower. We've got a space in a parking. Surface parking lot with about 35 spots. We think that'll be enough. 45-minute time limit, so folks can pull in, wait. If you got 5, 10, 15 minutes, when you get the call that your loved one's plane has landed, and then you can go. Because what happens now is instead of parking clear out in the economy lots, the people circle or they park on the curb, and then the traffic control or the KC Airport Police have to run them off. So now they'll be able to say, "Hey, it's right underneath the tower. Everybody sees the tower, so you can go over there, and we've got signage. We'll have signage up that will direct people to that lot."
Now, Mayor James said recently that if the business community gets behind a new terminal, they could actually make it happen. What do you say, Pat?
I mean, it need we need we do need a grass kind of a grassroots campaign for that. Right now, I'm just trying to run an airport, and I've got a list of improvements, and we're trying to make sure the planes land and take off fine. So we haven't really been involved in that very much. And I know that the chamber and some of the civic organizations are working on it, but I'm not sure really what the status of it is. But I would agree with the mayor. I think there needs to be some grassroots conversations with folks, especially our Kansas City, Missouri residents, so they can understand where we've came in the last 3 years and kind of what the recommendation that was made in April for the new terminal and the fact that the airlines were willing to pay for it and back the debt.
Pat, just a final thing, and I've got about 30 seconds here. What's the biggest misconception that people have about KCI and a new terminal project? What are we missing there?
The biggest, well, two, I'll give you two of them real quick, and I touched on one earlier. Is the first one is, if we do something today, this is a long-range project. We won't be able to open the building for 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be looking at not what my experience is today, but what it will be in 7 years. And we've had, 27 consecutive months of growth, passenger growth out there. If that continues over the next couple of years, then we may be in a situation where the hold room sizes are what's going to necessitate us needing to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that I would say is I hear a lot of people who say, well, I like dropping off at the curb.
Right.
I like dropping off at the curb. Well, at every airport and the one that was recommended by the airlines, you're still going to have curb drop-off. If you're dropping somebody off so they can depart, or if you're picking somebody up, you'll still have a curb. It'll be different. It won't be the round rounded
right.
Curb that we have now, but there will be an arrivals and a departures curb. The nice thing about it is what that would do is it would get the commercial traffic off it also. So if you've been out there when it's busy, a couple of flights have landed, what we find is, there's six lanes of traffic there, but everybody's on all six of those
right.
lanes, so it becomes a little bit of madness when that happens. So, but we hear frequently from people that say, well, I like the fact that I can drop off. That won't change.
All right. That's Pat Klein. He's the new director of the Kansas City Aviation Department. Pat, I sure appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.